A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to take 10 for Talmud, Nida Nun Ches, Nida 58b, pagination is 116. We'll start at the Mishnah towards the top of the page, about 11 lines down. We're dealing in the Perek of Haroe Kesem with cases of Ksamim stains, where a stain was found by a woman, either on her skin or on her clothing, and it's attributable to her, and therefore, even though she has no indications that she's a Nida, she didn't have any sensations, she's not aware, but because of the presence of the Kesem that's attributable to her, Chazal imposed a rabbinic requirement of Nida in such a case. However, as we will see, and we've mentioned, we're quite lenient in being willing to interpret the stain that was found in some other way so that it's not attributable definitively to her and will not change her status. And so the Mishnah states, V'tola b'chol davar she yechola litlos. She can attribute it in anything that's reasonable. For example, shechta behema chayeva of. If she shecht an animal or a bird, and we can assume that some blood splattered, nisaska biksamim. If she handled things that have stains, osha yasha v'tzadu asukim bohem, or she was next to people who were doing such work. All of these things are going to enable us to attribute the stain to this external source. Now, a natural discussion is going to exist. How attributable does it have to be? Are all reds created equal? And that's certainly worthy of discussion. The Mishnah tells us, Harga ma'acholus. If she killed a ma'acholus, translated as a louse, harezu toleba, she can attribute the stain from that killing, and it's the insect that's the blood that she just found. At kamatola, how much blood can you attribute? Rabbi Chinina ben Antignus Omer ad keguris shel pul. He defined it as a certain type of bean, a certain size, and that was known. Nowadays, we widely accept in the parameters of a penny size is the amount that's being described here. But we have a further leniency from Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, who continues and says, "Va'af al pi shelo harga," and you could attribute this size even if she did not kill a ma'acholus. She doesn't know of any reason that she should find such a stain. Just life allows you a certain amount of an unknown stain because there are things going around. There are insects around. And even if you don't know anything specific, you can attribute this penny size. And it simply wasn't included in the Gzeira de Rabbanon. And therefore, even if we were to find a truly red blood stain on underwear, where it's like so clear to us circumstantial evidence where it came from, but if she did not have sensation, and it's not a biblical Nida experience type of presentation, but rather only a rabbinic level imposing the law because you found a bloodstain, there was an allowance that if the bloodstain is that small, it does not count towards this rabbinic legislation. And therefore, one of the more delicate shilas that we have in Hilchas Nida is when a truly red bloodstain presents on underwear, but sometimes there's a separation, it's droplets, it's not one full presentation, as long as there's a separation between the droplets, you have a certain allowance of this penny size in which, even though it's red, it's still very well maybe permitted and does not change her status. Again, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos came to tell us how big the ma'acholas attribution can be. And then he went ahead and said, and we don't even need that she knows about the ma'acholas. We don't need to know about the last. We just automatically assume that there could be such a stain. And it was not included in the rabbinic legislation. The Mishnah continues. V'tola b'vina o b'vayla. She can attribute to a son or her husband that has a child or her husband that has a wound that they come in contact with each other and the stain could have come from them. Im yesh ba maka. Likewise, if she has a wound, v'yecholo lihigaleya, and it's possible that even though it has a scab, but it could have emitted some blood, that's enough to attribute it to a different source other than a Nida status source. Maisa b'isha achas, there was an incident with a woman, Shabbos lefnei Rabbi Akiva, she came in front of Rabbi Akiva, amra lo, and she said to him, ra'isi kesem, I have a stain, amar lo, so Rabbi Kiva told her, Shema maka isa bich, maybe you had a wound, and the wound is what emitted this stain. Amra lahain, she said, yes, v'chaisa, but it's already healed. Amar lo, so Rabbi Kiva said to her, Shema yecholu lihigaleya lehotzi dam, maybe it still is able, even though it's scabbed, to let out some blood. Amra lahein, she said, yeah, that's possible. V'tiyara Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva said, it's tahar. Doesn't change her status. The fact that if it was moistened, it could let out some red or some way, Rabbi Akiva was fine with that. Ra talmid of mistaklim zebozeh, Rabbi Akiva saw his students who heard the shaila and the psak were looking at each other. They can't imagine why the Rebbe paskened like that. Amalohem, he said to them, Mahadava kasha b'yeinechem, why is this hard in your eyes? Why is this a surprise? Shalo omru chachamim adava lahachmir ela lahakel. When the rabbis made this legislation of ksamim, they didn't give it with an attitude of stringency. Obviously, they're creating a law that was not required biblically. But when they imposed the law of Kesamim, it wasn't with a strict attitude, Elolahakel, but rather with a lenient attitude. You have to observe it. But whenever you have a method to get yourself out of it, you should consider such things. Shenema v'isha kisi yazova dam yazova bivsora dam velo kesem. Really, it's blood that produces nida, not kesem stain. We have a law, so you observe the law. But any time that you could be lenient with a reasonable attribution, you're allowed to do so. For those who wish to further their learning on this topic, the Art Scroll 2 volume from Rabbi Forst has a very extensive discussion. I will reference specifically page 234 in the first volume, where he deals with ksamim, and he discusses the concept that things have to be reasonable. The question in our time, for example, if a woman only finds the stain on an inner garment, an undergarment, and there's no stain on her dress, can she really attribute that what she was working with somehow made it to that part of the clothing? So one statement that's made in certain sources is maybe the dress lifted up for a moment and somehow that stain came through. There are different angles that we can come up with, but ultimately it has to be attributable in some reasonable way. But like Rabbi Akiva described, it could be stretching the probability a little bit, but it has to be a reasonable attribution. Just as an aside, the garments that a woman wears are fitting, and other garments are draped. And this is well known. The undergarments are going to be fitted, and the dress is draped. What's the source for that? And there actually is. The description, Chamuke Yirechayich, in Shir HaShirim, your thigh is hidden, not just covered, but hidden, curtained. As the Gemara in Moed Katan says, Mayerech Beseser, just like the thigh is hidden, not just covered. It's hidden. You can't tell it's there. We're not showing body parts with tight-fitted clothing at that part of the body. And therefore, we definitely have this scenario play itself out where you could have a stain and you have to figure out whether it's attributable or not based on the configuration of the clothing. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.